Well, we are in a series called What Now? And the tagline of the series is Meeting God at the Crossroads of Life. And let me ask you this question. I have a couple questions before we just jump right in. Have you ever been in a room full of people but felt completely alone? Does that describe you? Have you ever had so many friends but still feel sometimes like you don't even have one? You know, we have, you yourself might have tons of social media platforms like Twitter and Instagram and handles, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're connected. That doesn't mean that we're not experiencing even community. And you feel like sometimes even when you post something, if it doesn't get the right response, it's like nobody's listening. Or maybe this morning you find yourself going through something and nobody else knows about it, or nobody else is aware. Maybe you're going through something this morning and the closest people to you aren't even aware that you're struggling. Well, if that's you, I want to tell you that God wants to meet with you on that path, and he wants to help us and come alongside of us. Because all of us at one point or another have been on this journey of life, and we've stopped, we've looked around, and we've realized that we're kind of lost. Like, how did we get here? We feel alone. We almost feel abandoned. And we don't know how we got there. And we certainly at times don't even feel that we even know the way home. All of us have been there. And that's the trouble with this feeling of isolation. Now, at first, during this whole COVID season, that was actually something we looked forward to and that we wanted. We were like, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to have more alone time. I'm going to have an opportunity to focus more on myself. I want to get away. I want more time for myself. But too often, that leads to a drift towards isolation. And stepping back at times is not bad. In fact, stepping back at times is really important. But what is bad is when we stay there, because we weren't meant to live in isolation. In fact, we were meant to live in community. We were wired for relationships. We were wired for connection. We were wired for connection to God, as well as connection to others around us. Even when we feel like we don't like anybody around us, here's the hard truth. We still need the people around us. So here's kind of the big rock, the big takeaway for this morning. We were created for connection, but we drift towards isolation. How often is that true for you? You recognize we're made for connection and we desire that connection, but we find ourselves just drifting and drifting towards isolation. Now, sometimes we choose isolation because, well, it's just easier. In fact, for many of us, isolation is almost the same as self-preservation. If I just stay alone, if I just stay isolated, then I won't have to worry about people trying to hurt me, and I'll be able to protect myself. And isolation feels sometimes like it's the best option. And again, for certain seasons of time, that might be true. But we can't stay there. So COVID, again, at first was great, but it's been too long. This feeling of disconnectedness, this feeling of isolation, this feeling of not being sure of where to go and what to do and when do I wear a mask and when do I not wear a mask and all those different questions and just that overall feeling of being alone to try to figure out what's next, it's been too long. And I can kind of prove that it's been too long because just look around. The place is a mess. What we're experiencing is a result of being quarantined. And now all of a sudden, people are just kind of going crazy and going mad. And it's this kind of what I've heard people call COVID crazy. And it's true. And COVID doesn't look good on some people. You can tell. And it's kind of like, you might want to take that back to the rack and pick out a different size because I'm not quite sure that that's what you meant to say, but you ended up saying it anyway. You know what I mean? So as I'm reading through scripture, I was reading in Psalm 25. And in Psalm 25, verses 16 and 17, it's another Psalm of David, where David is pointing to Christ, to God, to be with him, even in the midst of this great feeling of being alone. He says, "Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all." I don't know about you, but I know that there are times in my life when that is an incredible prayer that I have had to pray, that I feel like I'm going from alone, deep distress. My problems are getting bad to worse. I feel like I'm the mouse trying to get out of the milk, you know, and you've heard the expression, just keep running and churn it into butter, right? But it feels like I just keep slipping and sinking. So David's words, if you look here, are, "I'm alone and in deep distress." What's interesting is that crazy phenomenon, when we go back to social media, there's this crazy phenomenon that happens. Something that's supposed to be about community actually ends up being more about isolation. So think about Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. When we put all of our content out there, we post pics of, and I've seen these, you know, you post pics of your nasty feet on the beach or by a pool. And I don't like feet. That's why, you know, there's no cute feet. They're all nasty to me. And then all of a sudden you put like hashtag office or hashtag my status or hashtag blessed, you know, and the reality is you post that and then you go back 2 minutes later to check and see if anybody liked it. And the problem is if nobody liked it, well, that's really bad. Or if not enough people liked it, you end up slipping into further isolation because now you feel worse. You see, that platform that's meant to create community actually potentially leads us down a deeper path of isolation. And I think we need to be careful how we define community and how we define even isolation. So the crossroads that we find ourselves at this morning is isolation versus community. Now, last week I mentioned, and I think it's important to mention again, through this process and this journey, you have a choice. You can continue to live on this path of isolation. You can continue to live going down this separate way and that feeling of alone, or you can choose community. And again, I don't want to make this oversimplified, and I don't want to stand here and say that it is simple because I know that it's not. And really, when I talk about the difference between isolation and community, I don't want that to even sound like that's a political commentary or a debatable topic, you know, of, I'm not saying, you know, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, or send your kid to school, or don't send your kid to school. That's not what this is about. Instead, what I think it's about is increasing your definition of community. I think it's about understanding, what does it mean to be in isolation? Because you can be surrounded by hundreds of people and still feel alone. You could be in a group chat with 14 other people and feel like you're not being heard. So we have to understand, what is isolation, and do I find myself drifting towards that? And how do I increase my definition of community? Because here's the thing. As Christ followers, we're called to fight the drift of isolation. We're called to fight that drift. Because I believe, and I'm going to help point out, that there's three ways to fight the drift. Now, obviously, there's more ways than just three, but I'm going to point out three for us this morning. The first way that we fight drift is to know that you're not alone. Know that you're not alone. That's really important. And I've been reading Paul's letters recently, and Paul, in his letters, in many times, is trying to expand the definition of community, especially for new Jewish believers. Because unfortunately, for these new Jewish believers, their definition of community was very narrow. In fact, it didn't even include a group of people called the Gentiles. The Jews, even though that they were now Jewish Christians, still were going back into this old way of thinking or this archaic way of thinking that the Gentiles didn't exist or that they weren't going to be a part of this new faith movement. And in fact, when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll encourage you to turn there to Ephesians chapter 2, we see Paul writing a letter, but this time he's addressing the Gentiles. He's addressing this group of people that feel alone. They feel like they're wandering. They're searching for a place to belong. They're isolated. They've been on the path of isolation. They've stopped on the journey. They've looked around and they go, how did we get here? And how do we get home? Because for them, they didn't even think that home or relationship with Christ was even an option. So Paul wanted them to fight the drift of isolation and recognize that they had a role in the community. And so I want you to hear these words as we read these words this morning, that maybe for you, I want you to hear them from the perspective of somebody writing, like Paul, to people who feel alone, to people who feel isolated or wandering. And that might be you as well. So now I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to read from The Message, which is Eugene Peterson's version of this particular passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 19. And I like the way Eugene Peterson writes it. I think it helps to create an imagery that we can really hold on to. He says, "You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here." Now, let me just stop there for a second. However you're consuming this media, whether it's online, whether it's going to be in person, whether it's listening later, I want you to know something. You belong here. And I don't just mean Trinity. I mean you belong in the kingdom of God. You belong here. You have a rightful place in the kingdom of God. And I think that's so important to know because so many times we disqualify ourselves. But see, God never disqualifies us. In fact, he wants to create an opportunity for you to come into relationship with him, which then turns you into a kingdom citizen, a co-heir with Christ, more than a conqueror, to be a child of God, adopted into his family. You belong here. Hear those words this morning. So then he continues, he says, "with as much right to the name Christian as anyone." Remember, he's talking to the Gentiles. He's like, I know that the Jewish believers are calling them Christ's ones, which is where we get the term Christian. He says, you have just equal opportunity to that word Christian as they do, because they felt like they were outsiders, isolated, alone, wandering. Then he continues, "God is building a home." Now let's look and see how God is building that home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. Now, look at that imagery. Brick by brick, stone by stone. I love the imagery that's used here. You're a stone. I'm a stone. And what it tells us in the scripture is that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. What does a cornerstone do? It holds all the stones together. So now if you're a stone and I'm a stone and Jesus is the cornerstone, what does that mean? What type of building or what type of temple is he building? It's not just a physical temple. It's a spiritual temple. And it's not just recognizing the spiritual temple that each of us are. It's recognizing that each of us as a stone in the temple, that we come together to build a spiritual kingdom and that we need each other. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I'm starting to preach. Come on. So here we go. Number two, the second way to fight the drift of isolation is to know that you're important. To know that you are important. Don't disqualify yourself. You are important. You're important to God. You're important to the people around you. You see, verse 21 says that he's using us all. Catch this, irrespective of how we got here in what he is building. So look at this. He is using us all. And it doesn't matter how you got here. It doesn't matter what your story was. What matters is what your story will be when God is the author and the perfecter of your faith. What matters is where you're going, not where you've been. You can learn from where you've been. But if you continue down this path of isolation and we don't build community, you're missing out on some of the greatest parts of being a part of the body of Christ. Brick by brick, stone by stone, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. So I always imagine here when we talk about these stones, I don't know what you think about. You know, I think about a brick. I think about something small, you know, that builds houses, you know, and bricks. But when I think about stones, I think about something that's like 4 foot by 6 foot, like in behemoth, mammoth stones, the stones that they built the pyramids out of, like the stones that they built the Jerusalem temple out of. Like I'm talking like these big honking stones. And that's what I picture for us, that we are stones and that we need to be with each other and we need to be close to one another. Have you ever seen a temple being built that has big gaps between the stones? Dumb. And it's not going to, what is that going to protect the temple from? Or what is that going to help in even making it stronger? How are temples made strong? It's when the stones are put together and all these stones then all of a sudden start to build up and they're stronger when they're closer. Are you catching what I'm saying right now? They're stronger when they're closer. Parker plays this really addicting game called Minecraft. You may have heard of it. It's literally like an 8-bit game on a 4K system. It's kind of comical, but at the same time, it's really, really cool. And you can build different things. And one of the things you can build, depending on the product you use, you can build these cool forts and homes and temples and palaces. And it's really wild. But the stones are right next to each other. And you can lay them out really quick. Boom, 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 boom. And you can do the second layer. Boom, 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 boom. But the thing is that you don't put gaps in the stones. Legos, right? I love Legos. I grew up playing with Legos. You know, if you were going to build the Lego castle, you didn't put gaps in the Legos because they had to be together to make it stronger. And that's why community is important. That's why part of this is helping to try and maybe even convince some of you that isolation is missing out on the opportunity of community. So here's the amazing thing when we use this analogy of the stones. Because remember I talked about the big honking stones, the 4x6 stones. Here's the thing that we know about the stones of faith and the stones of the temple that God is building. Some of those stones are white. Some of those stones are brown. Some of those stones are black. Some of those stones are smooth. Some of those stones are rough. Some of those stones have had a pretty, you know, easy go at life. Other stones have went through a lot and have been tumbled over years and years and years. Each stone is different. Each stone is different. But all stones are important to God. And all stones are needed for the task at hand. That's what's amazing to me. Because here it is. You have to know to avoid the drift of isolation is that you are important. Okay, lastly, here we go. Number 3, we need each other. That's the third way for us to fight the drift is to recognize that we need each other. Now, when we continue to read in Ephesians 2, because I stopped early, there's another two verses at the end of where we were reading in Ephesians chapter 2. So verse 21 and 22 says, we see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Look at this. We see it taking shape day after day. after day. Again, like I talked about last week, we stand at the crossroads of decision-making every day. Every day is filled with tons of decisions, and we need to allow God to live the crossroad moments of our life, because that's who we need to follow in helping to make the decisions about which path is the best path to go down, or which path is the path that we need to get off of. And so when we look at this, it's day by day, a holy temple. Now look who it's built by. Is it built by the people? No. Was Jerusalem restored by the people? Well, yeah, they had a part to play in it. But ultimately, it was built by God, because God was the one that gave them the strength. God was the one that protected them. God was the one that gave them the what they needed to build. So yes, it takes the hands of men and women and children, and it doesn't matter the age or the gender, but it's us. It's built by God ultimately. All of us are built into it. And it's a temple for which God is quite at home. So I want you to hear me say this. Be careful not to reject a stone that God can use. Be careful not to reject a stone that God can use. One of the things that's most devastating to me right now in this day and age, and what I'm seeing in commentary, and I'm seeing through conversations, and is that there's so much of rejection of people that God can, will, and is able to use. Nobody is outside of the opportunity for God to use to continue to build his spiritual kingdom. Nobody. That includes you. Because you might be a person this morning that's saying, you know what? God can't use me. I don't even feel like I'm even strong enough to be a stone. No, because God wants to be the stone in your life. God wants to build you up. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to place you next to other stones, other believers that are going to make stronger together. But that's why we need you. That's why you need us. That's why we need each other, because that's where we'll find that strength. In fact, Galatians 3, verse 28 reads, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. Well, that settles that debate, right? Paul is talking to the Gentiles saying, hey, listen, I know that the Jews, they're struggling. I know that they don't want to give you a fair chance, and they're not quite sure that you can be believers as well. But here, Paul just writes to the church in Galatia, hey, listen, that doesn't even exist anymore. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile, right? He says, there is no slave. There is no free. There's no male. There's no female. He says, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the good news this morning. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So let's go through just a quick review. We're going to end here. To fight the drift of isolation. Knowing that we were built and wired for community. Community with God, community with each other. To fight that drift, there's three things that we can do. Number one, I want you to know you have a choice. Don't forget that. You have a choice in all of this. So here's the first thing that we can do. Know that you're not alone. You're not alone. It might feel like everyone else has abandoned you, but I can tell you with great assurity, God has not abandoned you. This is the God of the 99 and the God of the one. He is the one who is pursuing you, chasing you, coming after you. Even when you've had a relationship with him for years and you feel like you're drifting and you're drifting and you're drifting, he is coming towards you and he is with you. So when you wake up that one day and you look around, you go, oh my word, I'm on this path of isolation and I don't know how I got here. I don't even know if I can find my way home. Guess what? God is there standing with you and he will walk with you on this journey. Number two, know that you're important. You are important. Everybody that I'm speaking to this morning are important. Scripture even tells us that we are important in the hands of God, that he made us in his image, that he desires to use us. You have a choice if you want to be used by God or not, but you don't have a choice whether or not God wants to use you, because he does. You are important. And you have something to offer. That's the amazing thing. That's why we say all the time that it takes all types of churches to win all types of people. Well, guess what? It takes all types of people to win all types of people. That's why we need each other, and that's why we need you. So, and you're important. Third thing, we need each other. As the scripture says, we are one in Christ. He is the head. We are the stones, and we need each other. And we're built into work in God's craftsmanship. That is amazing. So, Psalm 25, what's interesting about this particular psalm is not only did we read Psalm 25 earlier, verses 16 and 17, but if you went up to the beginning of that psalm, verses 4 and 5, you can see it right here on the screen. David is having that conversation with God again, as he often does, but I want you to look at what he says. He says, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Show me the right path." Many times we think David just already knew what the path was and he was just automatically going down it. No, he had to continually pray to God, "Show me the path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you." All day long, I put my hope in you. That's a phenomenal scripture for us during this series. What now? What now? The COVID, the necessity for racial reconciliation, the civil unrest, the rioting and the looting, the school conversations, the masks, all of it, the politics. What do we do now? What we do now, folks, is that we read Psalm 25, 4 and 5. "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you." Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, that's our prayer. Simply put, that's it right there. Lord, we pray that you would show us the right path. We pray that you would show us the road to follow. Lord, there are many who heard this message this morning and feel that they too maybe are taking stock and recognizing that they are on a path of isolation, that they might feel like they've been drifting away from community and drifting. And right now, Lord, it's even harder because community seems to be just taken away. And Lord, we don't even have a choice. Ultimately, Jesus, we do have a choice. And we might have to increase our definition of community. We might have to increase our understanding of what does it mean to be used by God. But we are all needed. We are all important. And Lord, you desire to use each and every one of us. Thank you for advancing your kingdom through us. I thank you that we can put our hope and put our trust in you today. We pray this name in your name. Amen.